voice is heard with Yeah Hella Voice.
حنجرة ذهبية.
إيه في عربي في الراديو هين بالسيارة في شيكاغو.
صوت إلى الزمن الجميل، زمان العمالقة والفن الحقيقي.
ألو.
أيوة الحكي يا مرا. بقولوا عربي بالراديو، بيحكوا عربي.
مين هذول اللي بيحكوا عربي؟
هون بالراديو بيحكوا عربي على يا هلا. بيقولوا اسمهم يا هلا وهون في شيكاغو.
أنت وين هالكيت؟
أنا بالسيارة مروح من الشغل في ميشيغان أفينيو جنب الميلينيوم بارك هذا. بالسيارة وما بفتح على الراديو إلا بسمعهم بيحكوا عربي. اسمهم يا هلا من 1450 من شيكاغو.
يا حج من وين بده يجي الراديو العربي؟ في أمريكا وفي شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم ومن السيارة كمان؟ والله زودتها.
إيش يعني بتقول إني خرفنيت؟ والله يا هلا 1450 من شيكاغو وعلى الأي أم هيني بسمعهم بالسيارة ومش مصدقتيني، خذي اسمعي.
يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله يا هلا بالضيف ضيف الله أحسب الروح، أي والله ما نرضى تروح من عنا، ما نرضى تروح لا والله، ما نرضى تروح لا والله. ما نرضى تروح لا والله، ما نرضى تروح لا والله.
Now you are listening to Talk of the Town. Talk of the Town with Ray Hanania. Talk of the Town brought to you by Life Run Medical Alert Systems.
And welcome to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at Yahala Voice, WCEV 1450 AM Radio. I'm here every Friday. Today is October 10th. Our producer is Khaled, and if you want to share your opinion or call in to debate, discuss, whatever, we want to hear it. We tolerate everybody, except, of course, no racism, no discrimination, no anti-Semitism, no anti-Islamic views, and no Christian views. So we don't want any extremists. I can't remember the hashtag. Yeah, there's a new hashtag. Yeah, no, that hashtag's very popular. Our telephone call-in line is 708-321-1313, extension 1. Make sure you punch that in. You can cut right into it and get to Khaled, and he'll put you on the air after he gets your name. Talk of the Town is brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. It's the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need available today. Their number at LifeRun Medical Alert Systems is 1-800-421-3366. We're broadcast live every Friday at 4 p.m. and also rebroadcast on Mondays at 11 a.m. We're simulcast on yahalavoice.com. You can also go to thearabdailynews.com to get information on the radio show. And you can listen to past podcasts of shows that we've recorded here at Yahala Voice and Talk of the Town Radio. The podcasts are also available on iTunes. And, of course, make sure to friend all of us. You got to friends the friends. Yahala Voice, Radio Chicagoland, Ray Hanania, Khaled. You can friend Khaled. Share your voice there. Tell it. You know, you may have a great idea for a show, and that's what it's all about. I just came out with a new book. It's called Power PR, and it talks about all the things that you can do to kick the biased mainstream media between the legs. And we all want to do that because I hate the media, even though I spent 20 years as a frontline journalist in the mainstream, the vicious, racist mainstream media. And, you know, when I was there, it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And when I look back at it, it was racist, but not as bad as it is today. And today it's terrible. So this book that I wrote, Power PR, well, actually tell you, how do you write a press release? How do you distribute a press release? You know, how do you write the message? How do you get attention? Who cares about the Tribune or the Sun-Times? You don't need them to reach people. There are ways to do it, but you got to be smart and you got to be strategic. And it goes through that whole thing. You don't want to just talk to the audience. You want to talk to the public. You know, there are a lot of Americans out there that, how long has this conflict been going on? They don't even know the fundamentals of the Arab-Israeli conflict. Whose fault is that? I blame the media, but I also blame us. We Arabs, we don't do a good enough job of telling our story. So, you can go to my website at thearabdailynews.com. You get all the information you need on the book. We got a great guest that I want to introduce right now. His name is Seth Morrison. And no, he's not Irish, and he's not related to Jim Morrison, the great guitarist, who inspired my youth and all my many hallucinogenic vacations I used to take in college. We'll say that. How's that? Seth Morrison actually is Jewish. And he's held leadership posts in various local, regional, national Jewish organizations starting in college as a youth leader in Young Judea. And he's currently active in a great organization called Jewish Voice for Peace. And he serves on the Jewish Voice for Peace Congressional Outreach Committee. Seth, welcome to the radio show this afternoon.
Thank you. Honored to be here.
You know, I'm a little off this morning because I've only had one bottle of Diet Pop, and usually I go through 10. So I'm a little kind of flustered here, and I apologize for that. But let me ask you a question that's always been bugging me. Is it Jewish Voice for Peace or Jewish Voices for Peace?
Jewish Voice, singular.
Why is that? Doesn't sound right. It sounds better. Jewish Voices, doesn't it?
I know. I have to plead guilty to not knowing on that one.
All right. Okay. And it's not that big of a deal, but you know, power PR, words
exactly.
Mean stuff, and people tend to go to what they think it is more than what it really is. So perception is reality. So when you tell people you're with Jewish Voice for Peace, they automatically turn it into Jewish Voices for Peace, I think. I hear that all the time.
You know, I think the important part
yes.
is that such a large group of Jews and such a growing group of Jews, I might add, mm-hmm. has, you know, joined this organization because we're so concerned about the situation.
Yes. And you're Jewish. And I guess my first question, I had mentioned this to you before, was why is a Jewish person supporting Palestinians?
You know, it's a very good question. And I think it gets back to understanding that the Jewish people have been oppressed throughout our history. And, you know, you made a comment about my last name, which is quite common and I hear all the time. And, you know, people ask why a nice Jewish boy from Long Island
right.
is named Seth Morrison.
Right.
Well, my father went to college during the Depression. And my father's last name was Moskowitz.
There you go. Very and big Jewish name, I would
Jewish
guess.
Jewish name. And he decided to get a PhD degree at a university in the Midwest. And he went out there and he got his master's and went to register for the PhD. And the department chair called him in and said, you know, you're a nice guy.
Wow.
But we've never given a PhD to a Jew.
Wow.
And you're not going to be the first.
Wow.
And, you know, I think just as the Arab people face discrimination because the minute people hear your last name
right.
or your first name,
yes.
the red flag goes up. Well, that was the Jews in the U.S. until, you know, 20 or 30 years ago.
Wow, that's fascinating. And you know,
yeah.
that's one of the things that I always tell my community. You know, a lot of times it's one thing to, you know, that story you told was very powerful. And I know all the Arabs who are listening to this program have similar powerful stories. We don't
Correct.
Tell those stories. And sometimes it's the obvious thing, like just looking at your name, Seth Morrison, that got us to talk about this fundamental act of discrimination that occurred, you know, to your father. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
It's phenomenal. So you have a conscientious, you know, view of an experience with discrimination and racism and stereotypes. And what, you see that the way it's happening to Arabs in this country?
Exactly. But, you know, it took a long time. You know, I grew up with Judaism and Zionism being an important part of my life. And I was 16 in 1967. And the Six-Day War for us was a miracle.
Right.
I mean, you know, we knew about the Holocaust. We knew about all the problems. And Israel had, you know, barely survived. And then to win this great victory. And so I was basically taken in by the propaganda that has taken in most of the American people. And it's only because I happened to have some friends who were major leaders in the peace movement who helped to educate me. And then later I got involved with an organization that you may have heard of called the Arava Institute.
Yes.
For Environmental Studies.
Yes, I have.
And it was actually started by a family friend and does wonderful work. For those who haven't heard of it, it's university-level education on the environment that brings together Hebrew-speaking Jewish Israelis, Arabic-speaking Palestinians and Jordanians, and North Americans, and it focuses on coexistence as well as on the environment.
Wow. And I'll tell you, that's a fascinating story. I mean, you were 16 during the 1967 war. I was 13. I remember being in elementary school, and I think it was eighth grade, and the school paused, the entire elementary school. Now, this is an American school where it was an Arab and Jewish community, but we were still, Jews and Arabs were still like only 10% of the student body, and the entire school paused to support Israel, mm-hmm. you know, in the conflict, and they asked everybody to pass around a canister to donate to the Jewish United Fund, and it had a little label on the front of the canister that said, stamp out Nasser. And mm-hmm. they passed it around, and the teacher brought it up to me, and I, you know, they're all looking at me like, you know, like this peer pressure to put money into it.
Right.
And I didn't, and first of all, I didn't have any money to donate, but it was like they were going to kill me if I didn't donate.
Right.
But it was so built into our society. They
yes.
knew all about Israel. They knew mm-hmm. all about Jews. Arabs and Jews were equal in that community, yet the community knew nothing about Arabs. They really
exactly.
didn't know us. It was such
right.
a big thing. And I've been on a crusade trying to explain it, but I'll tell you something, and maybe you can help me understand why this is. A lot of Arabs get mad at me because, you know, I think more like an American. I want to talk to Americans. I don't want to just talk to the choir. I want to talk to Americans in a way that kind of gives them a comfort level, makes them less afraid, and then become a friend. And then you know that when someone's your friend, they'll believe anything. You know, they'll support anything. But Arabs get mad at me all the time. They go, why are you so nice? Why are you so compromising? Why are you, we should, you know, either, why are we supporting Dick Durbin? You know, he took money from AIPAC. And I go, well, basically Durbin's not a bad guy. We could change him. But there seems to be this mm-hmm. attitude like we can't change him. I mean, does this argument make any sense to you? Is this something that you've thought about or seen in our relations between Arabs and Jews?
You know, it's something I've thought about a lot and been intimately involved in. At the Arava Institute, we had to fundraise. I mean, that was my role. I was helping them raise money. And we would bring always a pair, one Hebrew speaker and one Arabic speaker, together to explain the Institute.
Yes, you could never, by the way, in American media have an Arab by himself, by the way.
Right.
It always had to be you could have an Israeli and a Jewish person by themselves, but never an Arab. It always had
right.
to be an Arab and a Jewish or Israeli.
Right.
Go ahead.
But what we would do is we would go either into synagogues or into to parties organized by our supporters. And for most of these people who, you know, were primarily Jewish, they had either never met a Palestinian or the only Palestinian they ever met may have been the maid in the hotel or the waiter in the restaurant or the taxi driver.
Or
they happened to go to Israel.
Or the stereotype on TV or in the media.
Exactly.
That's probably the one that most Americans have met.
Exactly. But, you know, when these people sat down and talked, and when the Jew and the Palestinian both talked about the fact that the polluted stream,
right,
pollutes everybody. And you know, when you realize that the area inside the green line is the size of New Jersey, you know, everybody unfortunately pollutes the stream and everybody suffers with it.
Yeah.
And the only way we're going to fix that is to work together. And it sets an example. And many Jews would come to us afterwards and say, you know, I heard you were bringing a Palestinian. I was very mad.
Right.
I don't want them in my synagogue.
Right.
But then if they were willing to listen, then they got educated. So I do think it is very important for Jews and Arabs, whether they're Israelis or Americans or wherever they're from, to dialogue. But I'm also
we need to talk to each other, though, right?
Exactly.
And we don't really do it enough. Yeah,
no.
But a lot of times, go ahead.
But it also has to be, and this is what I would say to your friend.
Sure.
Is it has to be meaningful conversation.
Yes.
You know, to just sit there and have a beer together or to go play a basketball game, while it's nice, it doesn't help us learn to understand the other.
Well, let me argue with you just a little bit, okay? Because and maybe that's why a lot of Arabs think, Ray, what are you talking about? Why do you want to just go have dinner and not talk about Israel and Palestine with an American? I always believe that you got to become friends with them first because Americans are very racially driven. They're afraid of, you know, they don't like Jews. You know that, right? Most Americans hate Jews. They're anti-Semitic. But, you know, in today's world, Israel is part of their political, you know, agenda, so they love you. But it's not a real love. It's just a selfish politics. And they could love us, too, as Arabs. But you have to get to know them because they look at everybody and they go, oh, that's a stranger. That's a black person. That's a dark person. I don't have nothing to do with them. So I've always believed you got to meet them in an environment that's neutral so you can become their friend. Because you know what? Arabs are just good people. When they actually meet us, we're completely different than what they think we are, but they never get a chance to do that. So I only disagree with you in this sense that sometimes you got to establish the foundation first, and sometimes it may not be meaningful, but I do agree with you that the purpose has to be meaningful, that the purpose has to be, you know, once we become friends, I need this person to understand that my home was taken and that the real obstacle to peace is a government that we're funding, a foreign country, you know, that is not good, not just to Arabs, but not good to Jewish people either.
Exactly.
We're on the line with Seth Morrison. He is with Jewish Voice for Peace, and he serves on the Congressional Outreach Committee, which we're going to get into a little bit. He's agreed to stay with us during the show. If you want to call in and ask a question or join the conversation, I know Seth wouldn't mind, and I certainly won't. Dial 708-321-1313, extension 1, and, you know, make a statement, give us an opinion, ask a question, and then we'll see if Seth can help us understand it. The organization is Jewish Voice for Peace, and Seth is on the Congressional Outreach Committee. We're going to talk about how difficult that must be working with Congress, which is the most racist organization in the United States today. And you know what? It's just amazing, and it's just accepted when it comes to the Middle East. I'm Ray Hanania. You're listening to Talk of the Town Radio here at Yahala Voice. Radio WCEV 1450. Khaled is our producer, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion with Seth Morrison of Jewish Voice for Peace. We'll be right back.
To the radio, listen to
Voice. Home Life Furniture. آخر صيحات الأثاث وكل ما تحتاج من مفروشات. Home Life Furniture. الأمانة، الأخوة، والدقة في المواعيد.
No credit needed to finance. Everyone is approved at Home Life Furniture, 13449 South Cicero Avenue in Crestwood, Illinois, 708-631-3000. 3627. Mention Yahala Voice and your delivery is free. Get $200 off when you spend $1,500.
You have a medical alert device. When you press the button for help, can you talk through your pendant? With many companies, you still have to talk through the base unit, and that's not much help in an emergency. The answer, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems. Simply press the button and talk to a live operator right through the pendant. If your device can't do that, upgrade to LifeRun today. The system is free, the shipping is free, and the monitoring fee is less than a dollar a day. Call LifeRun now at 1-800-421-3366 or order online at LifeRun.com.
Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge's 72-hour sale starts now. $30 million in inventory, $5 million in discounts, and $25 million to lend will be available for this public sale at Man Carry's Chrysler Jeep Dodge at Oak Lawn. Now through Monday, get $12,000 off MSRP. Get 0% for 72 months, plus a $4,500 rebate. 800 factory cars are on display. Brand new Jeep Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, minivans, Ram trucks, and more. $5 million in discounts will be made available on Man Carry's $30 million of new car inventory. Stop what you're doing right now and get to Man Carries in Oak Lawn. $12,000 off MSRP. 0% for 72 months, plus $4,500 in rebates. $30 million in inventory. And bank reps on site with $25 million to lend. You will drive today. Hurry. This public sale will absolutely end Monday. Sale hours extended till midnight at Man Carry Chrysler Jeep Dodge on 95th Street, Oak Lawn. On select models, $1,389 per thousand with zero down with approved credit plus tax, title, license, and doc.
For years, the hearts of good people have broken for the suffering of the Syrians. More than 6 million displaced, nearly 3 million refugees, 80% are women. Children and elderly have faced growing hunger and deprivation. Syrians need food today. Your charity can help Syrians in need. Feed a Syrian family by donating a $50 food basket through Zakat Foundation of America at zakat.org or by calling 1-888-ZAKAT-US. Zakat Foundation of America, the leader in empowering lives through Zakat.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية نوفرها لموائدكم. متطلبات المطبخ العربي نقدمها لكم من خلال ماركاتنا السلطان، كرافت، نستلي، بوك، ريفل بيكان، دانا. ستجدونها في كافة المحلات والبقاليات. للمزيد من المعلومات زوروا موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
Yahala Voice, the Arab voice in America.
We're talking with Seth Morrison. He's with Jewish Voice for Peace. He's on the Congressional Outreach Committee. He used to work with the Washington, D.C. chapter, Metro chapter of J Street, and now he's working, I believe, or did work with the BDS movement. We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. One of the things that you do, Seth, is you do congressional outreach, and that must be a disappointing. I guess you got to find satisfaction on your own there because there's so few congresspeople that are fearless and courageous enough to do the right thing. They just don't understand the Middle East, or they've been, you know, allied to one view and they've set aside principle and it's all about money and votes to them. What's it like trying to lobby congressmen who just, you know, they don't want to have anything to do with us?
It's very difficult. And yet, you know, over the last 5 or 6 months, there's at least an ember of change. There are, as you said, a few brave members of Congress who are realizing how terrible the occupation is. And more important, there's an increasing number of Americans, Jews and non-Jews, who are speaking up. You know, prior to the Gaza War, JVP had about 140,000 online supporters. And we currently have about 190,000.
Good.
And, you know, members of Congress count votes and count supporters.
Right.
And, you know, most of us now get all these online petitions on Facebook or on our email, and people say, well, why should I sign another petition?
Right.
Well, it matters.
Yeah, it does matter. I agree. And there is a little bit of change. Now, for me, I've been doing this for almost 40 years. It gets very depressing. You know, we talk about this being young enough to know, not too young, but old enough to understand the Six-Day War and the ramifications. You and I were around then. There were a lot of people today that weren't even around, and all they've ever known is what exists today. But to me, it's I recognize that, you know what, you just got to keep going at it. And as long as it's building, that means that there's a positive goal at the end of the road. But how do you, what do you say to people that, you know, I came across this the other day. I like Dick Durbin. You know, he's a U.S. senator. I don't like Mark Kirk. You know, I think Mark Kirk is just a racist. He's a nut. Some of my friends sent emails to him saying you got to support the Palestinians, and he basically equated Hamas with ISIS and said that, you know, you can't be bombing and firing missiles at Israel, and that Hamas was, and you know, that they were using civilians and babies, holding babies up as human shields. You know, I'm reading this thing from him, and I want to reach out and slap him silly. But Durbin, I don't see Durbin being as bad as Mark Kirk. Mark Kirk is a loser. But Durbin, I think, is a decent guy. Now, as soon as I posted a positive story, I got a lot of Arabs said, he's on the AIPAC recipient list. You shouldn't be supporting him. You know, you're a traitor, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, no, this is the process of politics. You find people that you can work with, and you educate them, and I think Durbin can be educated to do the right thing. Do you think I'm wrong, or do we just have to elect people that are going to love us to office?
No, I think that it's, first of all, it's not either or. But secondly, you know, members of Congress need to be reelected, especially in the House, where they have to be reelected every 2 years.
Right.
And you would be amazed how few people actually contact their members of Congress. And so I think what I would say is, you may, no matter how radically you may disagree with a member,
right,
it is still worth your time to call them, to send them an email, a personal email.
Be respectful, right?
Be respectful, but firm. I'm not saying that anybody should give up their beliefs.
Right.
But, you know, the more that they hear from you, I mean, the more that they're going to be open to new things. I mean, you know.
Do we put aside our anger?
Community,
do we put aside our anger when we talk to them and try to be reasoned? Or do we allow the anger to come out when we talk to them?
You use the anger constructively. You know.
In an
Nobody wants
way.
To be yelled at.
Right.
And there's two ways for me to disagree with you. I can yell and scream and tell you you're a racist and you're a ABC.
Right.
Or I can say, you know, Ray, you're a nice guy.
Right.
But I just think you're wrong.
You leave the door open, right? To friendship, you leave the door open. And,
exactly.
and you continue, and you make the conversation continue. And we do distinguish between, I'm sure you do, right? There are members of Congress and the Senate that you could support and work with. And there's some, like maybe Ted Cruz, and in my opinion, Mark Kirk, Ted Cruz, they're hopeless lost causes. So let's push them aside. But the majority out there, we can work with, we could reason with, you could have a good conversation with. And I bet if Durbin got a lot of letters from Palestinians and members of Jewish Voice for Peace making a reasoned argument, not yelling at them, not calling them names, saying, listen, I know that you support Israel on this or whatever, but really, you know, I have family there. Man, here's what's happening to them, or I own land there, and I'm an American citizen, you know, whatever it is. That's the effective way to communicate, isn't it?
Right. And go to D.C., for those who can. And, you know, many people go to D.C. for other reasons, for to be tourists, whatever. Right. But they don't go see their member of Congress.
Right. They travel there and they don't take a moment to say, hey, why don't I use
this? Or they think, yeah, or they think, you know, oh, he's a member of Congress. He's not going to see me.
Right.
And it's true. You may end up seeing an aide.
Right.
But I guarantee you that there's a record that says how many Jews came and how many Palestinians and how many supporters of rubber tires came.
Yeah, you know, the one thing
is politics.
Yes, politics is about the easy ability to change minds if you do it the right way. I've done it so many times as a media consultant. I've worked with clients, and I remember one, and I'll tell you, this is such a good example. The Illinois legislature passed a law that prohibited a certain sale of a item in the state. And the company that was trying to get that reversed said, you know, geez, what are we going to do? And they came to me and they said, look, what can we do? I said, listen, how many employees do you have in the state? And they said, well, we have 10,000 employees. I said, great. Let's divide up your 10,000 employees by their congressional district or their legislative district in the state of Illinois. And we want everybody in each district to write a letter and take a picture of their family. And write a letter to their congressman or their legislator in Illinois and say, you know, I work for this company. We need you to reverse this bill. If you don't reverse this bill, I'm going to lose my job and my family's going to be hurt and we're voters. And you know what? It only took like 20 letters per legislator and they reversed the bill.
Exactly.
They completely reversed it when they realized, wow, you know, there's another voter side there that I could be with.
And, you know, you can do so much in your community. You know, many synagogues and churches and some mosques now are doing outreach. They invite their member of Congress to come and do a town meeting. Now, it doesn't have to be on the Middle East.
Right.
Invite them to do a town meeting because you have to worry about the kids in school.
Taxes,
and the environment.
Jobs. Yeah,
we worry about all these things. But at that town meeting, talk about your relatives in Palestine.
Right.
Talk about what's going on. And, you know, any member of Congress worth his or her job, when they're invited to a town meeting in a place of worship or from a civic association,
right,
they're going to go.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. We have a caller on the line. I think it's Maher. Maher, welcome to Talk of the Town Radio. You're on with Seth Morrison, who, I don't know, Seth, do you play guitar like Jim Morrison of the Doors?
Nope.
No.
Sorry.
Okay,
not
well,
musical.
You're out of luck, Maher, but he can maybe just talk politics. Maher, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd love really to say hello to my cousin, my real cousin. You know, as a matter of fact, in July, last July, when the war was on, in Gaza,
yeah,
I invited my best friend, was Jew, living in 1948, to my house. He started crying, and he told me, you know what? We learned in school when we were kids not to trust the Arab because they are our enemies. Now I trust you. I know you could poison me. And we were laughing, but he was crying. He said, I feel shame of myself being a Jew. I'm not, those guys are not Jew. That's what he said exactly to me. So the question here, Mr. Seth, if I mention your name, right?
Yes.
$119 million, they were spent the last 3 years in the United States. Those $119 million, they were spent by 37 organizations for one reason. Islamophobia.
Yeah.
Who are those people? Who are they? What kind of a human being they are? You looking for peace? One day, Seth, if not in our time, in the future, I'm sure humanity will celebrate peace, victory, and you will be in history. You and millions good Jew like you and millions Christian like Ray Hanania, we all are brothers. We're looking forward for peace, and God bless you, Seth, and you are my brother. Anybody say the truth is my brother. Anybody stick with the truth is my brother. Anybody against the Zionists, against terrorists, against killing, we should be united and have peace. And God bless you all, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Maher.
Thank you. That's really heartwarming. And, you know, I think we need more people like you on all our sides, because it's only, you know, that small number who advocate violence are pariahs to all of us.
Right.
And whether they're Jewish terrorists or Muslim terrorists or Christian fundamentalist terrorists, they're a small minority. And we have to isolate them, and we have to raise our political voices to show that there are the majority of people who think differently.
Now, did you let me ask you about this episode of Bill Maher that was on this past week. I know you didn't see it, but you read about it, I'm sure, and heard about it. And basically it was they had a guest on he was an author, a neuropsychologist, Harris. And he basically said, and Bill Maher seemed to agree, which was a surprise to me, because I always thought Bill Maher was kind of progressive in his views, but he's like a lot of Americans. He's getting a little nervous and upset about the rise of, you know, these killings on TV. There's an anger level, you know, that reaches the height of September 11th, where anger overcomes reason, and they just get so mad. And he basically said, you know, there's all this intolerance in the Muslim world, and we need to, and that Muslims need to do something about it. And Ben Affleck was smart. He stood up and he made a great argument. He said, wait a minute. When someone does something wrong, you don't blame the religion. These ISIL people claim they're Muslims, but they're not really Muslims. They're not true Muslims. So why do we let them, why do we accept their representation of them being Muslim? You know, it's racism to say all people are bad. You know, all Muslims are bad. There's some bad Muslims, just like there's some bad Christians. And they beat up on Ben Affleck. Now, he did very well. But I will bet you for every 100 Arabs that I read or heard say they thought it was great, I bet none of them sent Ben Affleck an email to thank him or tried to reach out to him or sent a note to Bill Maher to say, listen, you need to listen to Ben Affleck. He's right. There was a lot of anger, but there was no transition between that anger and emotion and actually doing something. Isn't that the problem that we have sometimes?
I think that's a major part of the problem. And I think the other part of the problem is that somehow when you're a minority voice, there's this assumption that, you know, they're all alike. And, you know, you can go back to Jim Crow laws in the U.S. and there's so many examples where there may be, you know, this small number in any one group that do evil things. And the first answer you get is they're all like that. And that's not true.
Right. A stereotype is a simplistic answer to a complicated problem. I grew up my whole life with my dad saying the Jews control the media. And, you know, I believed it until I got into the media and I realized, no, it's not the Jews. It's the Presbyterians that control the media. It's not the Jews. No, but it looked like Jews controlled the media to my dad because there were a lot of Jewish reporters. But the real problem was there were no Arab reporters in the media. We just had none. And even today, we have so few. We're on the line with a great guest, Seth Morrison. He's with Jewish Voice for Peace. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 708-321-1313, extension 1. We appreciate Maher calling in. Maybe you want to share your view. Tell us a little bit, Seth, about the BDS movement. I've gotten in a little debate with some people, you know, because I've gone back and forth on this. I've always believed that I want to boycott anything related to the settlements, but I didn't want to boycott Israel because I felt while we're negotiating peace, even though Netanyahu, in my opinion, is a war criminal and he's blocking peace, there are a lot of good Israelis in Israel, and we need to try to support them. Is that – how do you stand on that? I mean, do you think that I'm wrong, you know, distinguishing that way, or should we boycott everything until we achieve peace, or should we boycott in a focused way against the settlements? And what about the debate about, you know, the anger that comes up if you don't support the BDS movement 100%? How do you deal with it?
Well, Jewish Voice for Peace is a very democratic grassroots organization. And our policies are, you know, developed from the field up. And Jewish Voice for Peace position is to boycott, divest, and sanction any products of the settlements and any companies that directly benefit from the settlements.
I agree with that 100%.
And there are many within the broader BDS movement who respect that feeling and believe we're in the right place. They may not totally agree.
Right.
But they agree that what we're doing is significant and meaningful and is contributing to the pressure against the occupation.
Right.
So but that is our belief. We respect the right of others. You know, we have members of JVP who choose to boycott more, and we respect that.
Right.
But that's our organizational role.
All right. Can I join, can a non-Jew join Jewish Voice for Peace?
Yes.
All right. Khaled wants to join. You get your, does it cost a lot of money? Cause I know that my wife's Jewish and I had to pay for synagogue tickets. Okay. So that was, it's expensive to be Jewish, Seth. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know how to do it. When I married my wife, she was this very strong Zionist. Once I got to meet her, I took her, we went to Israel and Palestine, and she had this great enthusiasm for her Jewishness and everything, which I thought was great. I, you know, I'm not against Jewish people. And, but then I took her to visit my relatives, and once she saw that we were human beings, her whole attitude changed completely. Now, I can't marry every Jewish woman to get them to believe that way, although I think that would be a great goal to aspire to. But I only got one slot left since she's my third wife, so I only get one more chance to do it. But, you know, it's just little things like that. There's this anger that does exist. Do you feel it sometimes? I mean, you know, like Beers at University was upset, and, you know, when what was that writer's name? Amira Haas was going to be one of the speakers, and they said she couldn't speak because she was representing an Israeli newspaper, Haaretz.
Right.
To me, that's wrong, isn't it? Or am I, I understand why they didn't want to do it, but I don't think it helps them.
No, I don't either.
Do we pretend like that doesn't happen and we don't address it, or do we address it?
Well, I think we address it, but we address it gently, as you have on this discussion. You know, they're not bad people. They're making a decision that may not be as good for everybody as we would hope.
Right.
And, you know, I have dialogue, you know, because of my work with Arava, I've been able to meet many Palestinians, and, you know, just as you educated your wife, they educated me. And on, you know, trips to Israel, I went to Ramallah, I went to...
And had that not happened, you may never have changed, right? You might be in... See, I'm going to joke and say you might have been a Netanyahu supporter, but I believe that good people really, you know, I mean, deep down, you might be on the side out of fear, but I don't think good people really can support Netanyahu. You sound like a good person. I don't think even if you hadn't been educated about our side, I don't get the sense that you would dislike us.
Right. No, I was always a labor supporter politically.
Yeah, and so did I. But, you know, I have so many Arabs here get mad at me when I interview members of the Israeli Knesset who are Arabs. Mm-hmm. And I try – because they say, well, I don't – you know, we're not going to talk to Ray Hanania because he brought in Hanan Zubi or the other Christian woman who was part of the labor group or political party. And they're mad about that, and it's very frustrating because not only do we have to deal with the conflict and everything, but internally, you know, the Arab communities we sometimes become dysfunctional. Does anybody get mad at you because you're Jewish and say, "Well, I'm not going to work with you," you know, in the Arab community? Have you ever run into that?
Indirectly, and I must say that I have had because I switched from J Street to Jewish Voice for Peace,
right.
a number of friends and family have cut me off.
Really? So, now, I thought a lot of people didn't like J Street, and I'm a big supporter of J Street, and a lot of Arabs have just completely written me off because I supported J Street.
Yeah, but, you know, when I had some people who were mad that I supported J Street, and when I became a JVP BDS supporter,
right,
they literally cut ties with
me. Wow.
And some people who I considered fairly close to me. So, you know, that happens on both sides. But
right,
to answer your question, I've had some debates with Palestinians who felt that coming with me to Jewish groups and things like that were not appropriate because of the, you know, the anti-normalization concept.
Right.
And so there have been debates, but, you know, I think they've been healthy debates and, you know, I think we've learned from each other.
Yeah, I'm against this whole idea of, you know, this concept of normalization.
Right.
I don't even like it because it really basically says, I can't talk to you and I mm-hmm. can't talk to Israelis. And,
right,
you know, we have to be, you either have to accept everything that I say or you're the enemy. And don't yeah. talk about being Jewish or Israeli. Talk about just supporting us. Listen, I want to just remind everybody that we're talking with Seth Morrison. He is a member of Jewish Voice for Peace, a great organization. I've met a lot of their members over the years. I think they do a great job. He was with J Street in the past, and he's an active member of the BDS movement. Is that still correct? You're active with the BDS movement?
Well,
now
through JVP.
Through JVP, got it, right.
Even though we don't support BDS of all Israel,
right,
is considered a member of the BDS movement.
Okay, I wonder why they won't consider me part of it, because I don't support the boycott of Israel. I just support boycotting anything related to the settlements. I completely believe it's wrong, but I'm not going to boycott somebody just because they're Israeli or Jewish. So many good Jewish people, so many good Israelis that are supporting Palestinians like you, standing up for what's right. Seth, by the way, is going to be, I'll be with him this coming weekend. On Saturday, we're doing a panel discussion together, that's hosted by the Holy Land, Christian Ecumenical Foundation. It's at the Washington DC Marriott in Georgetown. It's, actually the conference is Friday and Saturday. I'll be there Saturday. Seth will be on the panel with me. And we have two other, speakers that are going to be on. I think Khaled El-Gindi is one. He's an Egyptian American and, he's been very active in the diplomatic level of, Middle East peace. So it'll be interesting to see how we can address the topic of the panel, which I think has to do with, you know, how do we overcome, this, roadblock that we've run into with Palestinian-Israeli relations. Seth, your website, by the way, Jewish Voice for Peace, is jewishvoiceforpeace.org. Is there a local one, or is that's the main one?
The local chapters are all, have Facebook pages.
They do, okay.
So Jewish Voice for Peace, DC Metro, and I believe it's the same in other chapters around the country.
Great, and I'm looking forward to meeting you, next week on, Saturday at the, panel that we'll be doing together. Any final thoughts, anything you want to mention or promote? I'll tell you, an hour isn't long enough to do a show. You know, there's so many other things I wanted us to talk about, but you know, as it does, it moves pretty quick. Anything that you want to mention or promote or put a spotlight on?
You know, JVP has chapters around the country, and we encourage you to contact them, whether you choose to join or not. But our chapters work with many different organizations, Palestinian organizations, Islamic organizations, and, you know, create these local dialogues in your communities. And Ray, I would just really want to thank you for creating, you know, this open forum for this kind of dialogue, and I'd be honored to join you again in the future.
Well, I think that's great because the more friends I get, the better. You know, I can count my friends on two hands sometimes here, and I lose them faster than I make them. I think it's because my dad, when he raised me, wanted me to speak English. He didn't want me to speak Arabic. And he knew that if I spoke Arabic, it would play into the stereotypes and the problems with communications. Right. He wanted me to be a doctor, though. He didn't intend me to be a journalist or in communications. So I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, and I know the Jewish community. I know deep down they support us, and they support justice. We just have to, doing it the right way and through people like you, bring that goodness out back to where it was in terms of Palestinian-Israeli relations. So I hope it does. I appreciate everything you do, Seth. You're just a great guy. I need to have you back on the show again. I appreciate it. And anytime you have something going, if I can help promote it, just reach out to me. I'm more than happy to do it.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Seth Morrison with Jewish Voice for Peace. Their website is jewishvoiceforpeace.org. Thanks, Seth. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, goodbye.
All right, goodbye. It was a nice conversation, Khaled. You know, because this is, we need more conversations with, you know, the Israelis and the Jewish community. So many of them like us. And we don't want to make enemies with all of them. I don't know. It's, and people yell at me all the time. They go, oh, why do you always bring Jewish people on, Israelis on? Yeah, right. That's exactly. We keep talking about it. But the people that attack me, you know, they say, oh, the, you know, there's no difference. There's a difference between Jews and Zionists. But then when they attack me going, oh, no, Ray is a Zionist. I go, why? Because they talk with Jews? Come on. My wife's Jewish. They get mad. I got to bring my wife on the radio one time and let her take some calls. Because I tell you what, when you talk to her, her whole attitude changed. When she saw the way the Israelis were treating Palestinians in Ramallah and Bethlehem and Jerusalem. I mean, it was like a complete change. And I wish Jews and Israelis, and a lot of Israelis, the reason they don't let Israelis go into the West Bank, I think, isn't because of security. They don't want Israelis to go to the West Bank because they don't want Israelis to see how badly Israel is treating other human beings. It's terrible when you see it. You can't deny it. So it was powerful for my wife, and my son who's Jewish. He's going to be Prime Minister of Israel. That's my strategy. As soon as he's elected, he's going to declare it's over and this is Palestine. And then he's going to announce his real name, Abdullah Hanania. Yalla, Abdullah. Come on, let's go. All right, listen, we're right at the end of the show. I appreciate everybody for joining us. I hope you had a good time. I hope it was informative. You can always find me on Facebook. If you got an idea for a show, you got a topic, you got feedback, you want to comment, you want to beat up on me, it's okay. I don't mind. I want to hear what you have to say. So reach out to me. Let me know what's going on. I do have a new book out again. It's called Power PR. And I'm telling you, it's exactly what the Arabs need. And I wrote it for the Arab and Muslim community because it's about strategies for ethnics and racial minorities. Those people that have been pushed aside by the media. You know, they accept African Americans, they accept Hispanics, they accept some Asians. But the rest of us, they push us away, they keep us out. And this book is about how you can use strategic communications to beat the heck out of the media and get your message out to the public. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Khaled. I want to thank everybody here at Yahala Voice. I also want to thank our sponsors, LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need that is available today. Their number again at LifeRun Medical Alert is 1-800-421-3366. To stay in touch with me, go to my website at thearabdailynews.com. You're listening to Yahala Voice here at WCEV 1450 AM. It is Friday, October 10th. You guys have a great weekend. Khaled, thank you so much for everything you do, and we will talk to you next week. Take it easy. Bye-bye, everybody.
I'm Tisma Yahala Voice in Chicago.